Little history lesson in the toy world. There was a toy back in the 70s called the Weeble. Yeah, see, already some of you with this color hair go, I remember that thing, right? It was this little sort of egg-shaped toy that the phrase was, weebles wobble, but they, you see? Absolutely. 40 years later, we're killing it. It was the goofiest little thing. It was kind of like this little punching bag thing that you had hit, but it was just tiny. It was desktop model, right? And the whole thing about it was weebles wobble, but they don't. It was a fascinating little thing. I want to be a weeble in life. Because here's what I know. I do wobble from time to time. How about you? Because that song that we just sang, I desperately need. Not the song, right? But the Christ of that song. That he would be, Michael, I'm getting further down my message than I should. He needs to be our foundation. We need to figure out how life can kind of take its shot. And yet we're not going to fall down. Why? Not because we're so strong. No, because of Christ. As we go through summer in the Psalms, one of the things that you discover in these Psalms is that the psalmists regularly call us as readers of it, as hearers of these Psalms, to consider our lives. Because what the psalmists are doing is they're kind of just bearing their all, right? Like they're just talking to you about life and God and where they are at or not with God and how it's going in that moment. And for some of you, that's why you don't like reading the Psalms, because it's too personal. Like, I don't want to know that about him. I mean, I go through that, but really we're going to talk about that in public. But yeah, we are, and they do, and so we need to. And so the psalmists regularly kind of challenge us about our faith, our source of what our faith is. And just because you're a church, I don't presume that your faith is in God. I hope it is. We pray that it is. We pray that it is in Jesus. You might be investigating this morning. Welcome. So good to have you here. We believe that song. That song about Jesus, our cornerstone, our foundation, and that although life may wobble a little bit, we're going to be weebles, and we're going to not fall down because of him. And that's what the psalmist is all about. If you got a Bible, smartphone, something with the Bible on it, maybe you've memorized Psalm 16. Way to go. This was your Sunday. You nailed it this week. You've been waiting for this one. Psalm 16. David was the author. Kenny did a great job last week explaining who David was. David had an up-and-down life for sure. He was following after God. God was blessing him, and then all of a sudden the king of the land was actually chasing him, trying to kill him. I've never had that. That would be a rough day, right? Honestly, horrible. Like, literally wanted to kill him. Then all of a sudden, David's in charge, and then he's doing unthinkable things. And then he's completely humbled, like just completely humbled and brought to his knees. And he surrenders in a big way to God. And so we get to be brought along, if you like, in that journey of faith with David as we read these Psalms. David was a man who was humbled and he knew personal heartache, and the reality was he caused heartache for others. Now listen, as we come to this, as we go through life, we all have a bias. We all have a bias. We all have sort of a way we do things, and one of our biases is we come from a first world perspective. Our personality comes into play, our family heritage, kind of the way we were raised, the way we interacted with all of life, your own personal experience outside of your family, but it's you now, and now you're kind of an adult, and you're doing life, and life's kind of hitting you and all this, and how you interact. I mean, these things become our way of viewing life, and therefore viewing God, and viewing the world around us. We have our own sort of hopes and what we want and what we think should play out in faith or not. You see, what you believe about God or not will affect your personal equilibrium. It will affect how you go through life, how you interact with life, if you like, how you navigate life and all that kind of comes at you. Your experiences and how you move forward or not, whether you get stuck. And what we find in the Psalms time and time again is people who have faced some life, and there's times where they are stuck. We don't know what snow is here, so let's talk about mud, right? Your vehicle gets stuck in the mud, and it just starts spinning, and you can't quite get going. And that's kind of what sometimes we find in these these psalms. David starts off with his declaration of his bias. I'm just going to read Psalm 16. This may be just all you need this morning right here. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart will instruct me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Here's David's bias. Here's what David is trying to experience. Let me tell you, I've often said this when I used to be a worship leader and regularly standing up front of you. You may or may not remember this, but I used to say to you sometimes, you know what, these songs that we sing that sound so great, sometimes we have to literally sing them by faith. Because we might not be in that very place in that moment. It might be really difficult for us to sing some of these songs. Matter of fact, this morning you might have been choking on them a little bit. Might have brought a tear to your eye a little bit. Because you're in a place where to sing that song, to hear these words are like, I want to be there. I want to encourage you, like the psalmist, to step out and to write it in faith, to sing it in faith, to believe it in faith, to trust in it. In the midst of whatever it is you're experiencing, David said it, keep me safe, oh my God, in you I take refuge. What a massive statement. And he restates it, you are my Lord, apart from you I have no good thing. What does that mean? Listen, that's not a value statement about family, kids, or anything like this. This is talking about purpose, like reason for existence. We need God for that. We need God to help to shape our reason, our priority, our why. David honors and respects the other holy ones, he calls them. Those holy people who are in the land, the noble ones. And he pays honor to them and then kind of talks about those who are following after other worldviews, other gods, other ways of trying to figure out life. And he's like, yeah, that's not going to work well for you long term. I kind of went down that road for a while. But that's not where it's at. Then a literary style of the psalmist often you find is it feels like as you're reading, you're like, didn't they just say that? And they do. Sometimes they will do these things, the kind of couplets where they will say it and then they kind of restate it. You ever been a parent? Have you ever had to do that? I thought I told you, right? Sometimes the psalmist is doing that. So he comes back at it and he says again, God, you're my portion, my cup. You make my lot right, and he just keeps kind of going on. And then he comes down to that phrase that I just love, and I want to be true of me. Because of all of who God is and his faithfulness, I will not be shaken. I will keep my eyes always on the Lord. And when that becomes true and more true and truer and truer and truer as the days and years go, my heart is glad. And my tongue will rejoice. And I will ever increasingly be able to trust in my God. I'll not be dismayed. As I look around the world and I see the things that are going on, I won't be shaken. I'll be able to trust. See, we read, we hear things, and we see things that at times, right, can kind of maybe rattle us a little bit, kind of make us question a little bit. And this is where our lens, our bias, our grid really comes into play. How we actually view things. And you see, these certain ideas, our family heritage, how we think about God and Scripture and story and how that interacts really does shape how we go through life, because life will knock us around. It will not always be as we dreamed it to be, even in this first world that we live. See, we like the God's got my back, it's all God, right? Like, we love that. Or it's like, you know, God, go get them. Get those bad guys. I'm the good guy. You go get those bad guys. We like that kind of God, and we love to think that that's how it's going to play out, Dan. Or look at me, God. I've trusted. I've done this. Like, look at my little playlist right here. Like, it's pretty good. Therefore, I am. Or sometimes it's just, God, just get me to heaven. This life sucks. And you see, if that's where you're at, you're ready for this psalm. You're ready for this God. Because life does suck sometimes. It hurts. It's sometimes things that we've done personally, choices we've made, things we've been involved in. Sometimes it's the choices others have made, and the things that other people have done in and around us that affect us. Sometimes it has to do with our kids, our parents, those who we thought we could trust, who are with us, right? We thought. Then all of a sudden they weren't. Disappointments, if I just do this, therefore God will do that. It doesn't always add up, does it? It doesn't always play out quite the way we want, quite the way we think it should be. And so when that bad thing happens, if you like, the things that are a challenge to us, those uncertain times, we start to wonder. You see, this is one thing that I've observed and I recognize in life, that good things happen to good and bad people in life. And bad things, you know, whatever bad things are, right, happen to good and bad people. Isn't that true? I think I read that somewhere. Yeah, Jesus said that. He was right. You know, he was totally right. They'll figure it out. They'll find it. It's all right. I was preaching at my church plant in Langley, and my father-in-law's phone went off right in the middle of the service. He felt horrible about it. It's all good. We all forget to turn that sucker off at one point. Matter of fact, at my daughter's wedding, honestly, this is the truth. My daughter's wedding, all of a sudden, Pastor Steve said something about cell phones. I slipped in there, and this thing, stupid thing was still on. I thought, don't you dare go off at my daughter's wedding. All right. Life happens. It's not always as small as a cell phone going off. It's other things that go off. And sometimes we go off. Right? It happens. Now, if we understand, if we see and kind of actually read this psalm and listen and observe the world we live in, we know that here on earth, this life is anything but certain. It's not always certain. And the followers of God, the followers of Jesus, like Jesus, will face some tough times. And it doesn't mean that God has walked away. It's the same for Jesus. Jesus faced tough times. If he faced tough times, we're going to face some hard and difficult times. There's going to be ups. There's going to be downs. There's going to be good. There's going to be bad. There's going to be justice and injustice. There's going to be pain of physical and psychological suffering. There's going to be all of that. And Jesus, our leader, Paul, our author, or David, our author here, says all of that's going to take place, but I'm going to trust God. Listen, would you need a refuge if it was all good? I mean, really. I mean, when we read these and it feels so profound, one of the things that's so profound about it is that we recognize we need a refuge. We need something that's going to help us be stable. We need something that although we wobble a little bit, we're not going to fall down. We need that. And that's our God. He is our foundation. We know that in God, we read, if you've taken any time to read through the Bible and you've heard stories maybe over time, you read Hebrews chapter 11. And in Hebrews chapter 11, you've got the, sort of the listing of all these men and women who followed God. And you start reading it and you start listening to it. Like if you actually listen to it, you recognize they faced it. That it was hard. That it was a challenge. And sometimes, do you know what? They question their faith. They question their God. Sometimes they turn and they ran. But here's the awesome thing about God is he pursues us when we run. Like he doesn't leave us. Scripture says he's actually with us to the very end of the age. If we get anything from this psalm, anything from this morning, could we get this? That our God is with us through all of our life. He'll be at our right hand. Do you need that this morning? I'm expecting some of you do. You know, some days you show up here and it's all good. And you're almost wondering, oh, yeah, I got this. That's awesome. I'm glad you're in that season. Because we're not always there. We're not always there. And it's okay to admit that. It's okay. God wants to steady us. He wants to buoy us. He wants to embolden us. He wants to strengthen us. And when our faith and trust is in that God, we will not be shaken. We will not be shaken off our foundation. Okay? Some of you own houses, you got to go get insurance. What do you ask when you're at the insurance place? Would you like earthquake insurance? I'm like, yeah, whatever. Sorry, some of you are thinking, oh, you don't ever. I figure if it goes, it all goes. They're not going to have money to pay me out anyhow. I don't know. I don't know how that works. I don't know what that is. But we will get hit with some things in our personal lives. There's no doubt about it. But will it shake us off our foundation? When those tremors hit, when those earthquakes come along, God is our earthquake insurance. He is with us. He will never leave us. There might become cracks in our foundation. Like, come on, he's with us. And life can throw challenges at us. It's not easy. Loss of a child. Personal attacks. I mean, I've heard so much in the last few weeks just within families, the personal family attacks. Families, I mean, our family can hurt us in the deepest way. Sickness. Never anticipated it. It's been all good, right? You've been one of those people, you get that little form that you fill out every time you go into the doctor, and you're like, I got this test. Nothing, right? Like just all the way through. And then all of a sudden it hits you. And you, why? What is going on? Maybe it's career challenges. Talked to someone the other day. Just an amazing career path, like serving God in a just a powerful way. And then all of a sudden a year ago, just completely gets the job cut right out from underneath them. Like, what? How can that be? Has that ever been you? Marital challenges, my goodness. Kids. Maybe you've suffered some form of attack or abuse. Maybe it's a financial. Do you need a refuge? Oh my goodness, I do. I need my God who will be at my right hand. That when I start wobbling, I'm not going to fall down, not because of me, but because of him. Because of what he offers, what he wants to do. He is an ever-present help in a time of need. He wants to be our guide. If it was all good, we wouldn't need that, but it's not always all good, and so we need that. But again, we start to make presumptions on who God is and what he's all about, and we start to think if I just trust God enough, then it will be all good. It will be fantastic. No problems. Guys, that's just not true. I know we want that to be true. That's another day that's coming in the future. That's called the heaven on earth, right? Like, that is going to be fantastic. And there are days where I want that more than others. But that's not now. And so we've got a God who wants to meet us in the midst of that, who will never leave us, who's at our right hand, who wants to be our refuge and our strength. And if you're waiting for that God where it's just all good because he's there, you're going to be disappointed. Now, don't get me wrong. God wants to come in and he wants to work in your life and he wants to do some amazing change. But there's all kinds of other wills going on in this world who can drop down and make a mess of things on your behalf, right? And we need God in the midst of all of that. We trust in God. I was sharing this with Kim this week. You know, every week when we're preaching, we always have a moment where we meet with the worship leader and just sort of talk through things. And I said, I'm going to go here and there, and then I'm going to dive into this passage. And it's just so powerful. Daniel chapter 3, you got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And this is one of those things, it's a kid's story, right? We leave that to Sunday school. Like, let the teach, because it's such a cool story, right? Shadrach and Benny. Listen to this. Like, I hope my kids get this. But we need this morning. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him. This is verse 16. King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. Because what was going to happen was the king was going to throw him into a fiery furnace, right? You want to follow God? Fine. You're going to burn. If we are thrown into a blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. That is humbling to me. Wow. The faith, yes, God can do it. Yes, he will do it. But you know what? If he doesn't change a thing. He's my God. And I will always trust him. And what catches me about this a little bit is this is pre-Jesus. They didn't even know about Jesus yet. Coming and living and dying for us on the cross, being raised again and all of that. This is Old Testament God stuff. This is crazy amazing. We have Jesus. And I hope that we can someday, today, tomorrow, get here. Because life is going to challenge us. Life is going to ask us that question. And we're going to have to decide, is that true for us? Is that really where my faith and trust in God is? Can I say that? Or when I read that, do you do what some of us do at times? And maybe when I'm struggling a little bit in my faith and I'm just really wondering because I look around, I'm like, God, really? Come on, again? I look at that and I almost go, like, guy's schizo. He will, but if he doesn't, I still. I'm like, what? No, that's the power of it. God will be at our right hand. We can trust in God and in him. Apart from him, we have no good thing. He's our refuge. He's our Lord. He's our portion. He is our cup. We place our trust in him, our dependence. Life will be hard, but no, God, you will be with me. And as I said earlier, there is more to this life. There is another life coming. David even starts alluding to this whole idea of the realm. I'm going to die someday, but I know, God, that you will have me in death as well. You will have me in life, and you will have me in death. And I trust you for all of that. And that day is coming, but this is today. And real life is coming at us. And we need to find our refuge. Where do you find that? Where do you find that deep soul trust and peace and security? Man, there's a lot of things about life that I love. I love sports. So good. I love those moving, like just intense movies that just kind of move you to your depths of your soul. I like those kinds of things. I love my family. I love being back in Victoria. I love my house. I love my barbecue. If you've seen it, oh my goodness, did we luck out. I love my kids. I love it when I hit a 3-iron so pure. Just down to the right, little draw on it, 200, 210. Oh, love that. It's nothing to build a foundation on. I can't build a foundation on my family. I can't put that on them. What a weight. I love my wife, 31 years. She's amazing. She puts up with me in so many ways. She, honestly, like so many times I've said, she's my rock. But she can't be my ultimate rock. She's my ultimate rock. I'll crush her. It's unfair. Where is that? And I'm trying desperately, like David, to go, no, God, you are my rock. You are my refuge. In you, I will not be shaken. Oh, I hope that's true for your life. If we are going to live an unshakable life, if we're going to live a weeble life, that we're going to wobble, but we're not going to fall down. If we're going to live a life where, although there's tremors, that somehow we're going to stay on that foundation, not going to be shaken off of that foundation, we need to know and declare that God is God, and He is your Lord, and He is your refuge, and He is your strength, and He is your hope. And sometimes, maybe many days, you're going to have to say that by faith and sing it by faith and believe it by faith and get up every day by faith and walk into a hard situation by faith, trusting that God really is at your right hand, that He really is going to be with you through it all, no matter the outcome. To trust Him in the midst of the uncertain. To be able to say, my God will deliver me. He can and He will. But if He doesn't, that's okay, because He never leaves me. He's a good God. Can you say that this morning? Is that sort of the direction that you're going at? When you're experiencing those difficult and uncertain times, know that your God will not abandon you. You do not need to be dismayed. Know that your God can be the foundation of your life, the foundation of your faith, that this God does not shift like shifting shadows, that He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, that He wants to bring you hope, courage, perseverance, strength. And at the end of it all, at the end of it all, death does not have the final say. He is with us. We need not fear death. David Suzuki, gentleman that probably many of you have heard about, he says, I've dreaded death, the terrible consequence of not being a forever after. David Suzuki is a naturalist, doesn't believe in God at all. And he's afraid of what comes. David goes, no, you know what? I don't understand it all that goes on. I don't understand why when there's a God that this happens, this happens, this happens, I'm going to trust in Him. Both today and for tomorrow. Folks, I just know what some of you are going through. And when I know what some of you are going through, I know that more of you are going through it. And I just want you to know, in the middle of this beautiful summer, sunny day, that God has not abandoned you no matter what you're facing. And that like David, you can cry out and declare this morning, would you, that He is God and He is good and He wants to be your refuge. That is so good. Let's pray. God, we trust in You. On behalf of some this morning, God, I pray it in faith for them. May they not be shaken. Oh, rattled probably a little bit. Not sure for sure. Questions, uncertainty, yeah. But not shaken off You, their foundation. Thank you so much for meeting us this morning. May every person here know that you are with them. All we need to do is turn to you, look to you, and trust you. May we follow you all the days of our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.